Chapter 1. Poetry and Politics. The Jewish Nation Seeks a Home. In that warm and beautiful land, does evil reign and do calamities happen too? Chaim Nachman Bialik. To the Bird. He would become the voice of a generation, a poet whose aching soul was a window into the pain of his entire people. Only 19 years old when he published his poem, El Hatzipur, To the Bird, Chaim Nachman Bialik would soon be recognized as one of the greatest Hebrew poets of all time, certainly the greatest of his era. Bialik's poetry captured both the desperation and sadness that the Jewish people felt at the end of the 19th century, as well as their longing for a place they thought of as home, even though they had never seen it. "How my soul longed to hear your voice," the poet says to a bird just returning from Zion, then known as Palestine. He asks the bird what life is like in the idyllic place that he imagines. "Does God have mercy on Zion? Does the dew fall like pearls upon Mount Hermon? In that warm and beautiful land, does evil reign and do calamities happen too?" Not really questions. These musings were more wistful dreams of a place across the ocean that had once been home to the Jewish people, and that, Bialik and others of his generation thought, might be home once again. When Bialik published To the Bird in 1892, Jewish life in Eastern Europe was miserable in many ways. Russia's Jews were largely allowed to live only in a specific region called the Pale of Settlement. Violence against Jews was rampant, either encouraged or ignored by the government and local authorities. Pogroms, as these attacks on Jews were called, had happened before. But toward the close of the 19th century, they took on a new intensity over a wider area. There were pogroms in Romania in the 1860s, in Odessa in 1871. The Jews knew that they were confronting an utterly irrational hatred that reason could not undo. European anti-Jewishness was becoming more complex. In Eastern Europe, much of it was fueled by theological claims or the accusation that the Jews had killed Jesus. That accusation is first suggested in Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 to 25. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." King James Version. In Central and Western Europe, though, which was now infatuated with science, race theory developed. "Now," said European racists, "the problem with the Jews was their race, not their religion." Even conversion to Christianity could no longer fix the Jew. In 1879, a German by the name of Wilhelm Marr, who rejected the notion that Jews could assimilate into general society, even coined a term for the modern incarnation of Jew hatred, which he himself shared. He called it anti-Semitism. Violence was hardly the only expression of Europe's disdain for Jews. In the 1880s, the Russian government placed strict limits on the numbers of Jews who could be admitted to schools and universities. The authorities sought and found almost endless ways to harass the Jews. In 1891 to 1892, Russian police expelled no less than 20,000 Jews from Moscow. Everywhere they turned, Jews faced a continent that despised and harassed them. Many Jews had expected that matters would be different, that modernity would herald a new era of reason and tolerance. But that hope was rapidly fading. Peretz Peter Smolenskin, 1842 to 1885, a Russian Jewish novelist, warned the Jews that they ought to be realists. "Do not believe those who say that this is an age of wisdom and an age of love for mankind. Do not turn to the words of those who praise this time as a time for human justice and honesty. It is a lie." With time, it became clear to many that as bad as Jewish life in Eastern Europe already was, it was going to become infinitely worse. A mass exodus began.